This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just looked it up. I didn't think that Washington had played on Christmas Day. They are one of just seven NFL teams that have never played on Christmas Day. They've played a lot on Christmas Eve. They've played a lot of games on the day after Christmas. They've never played on Christmas Day. The Cowboys and Chiefs have both played five times on Christmas Day, and they both played on the very first Christmas Day that had NFL. All the way back in 1971, the Cowboys beat the Vikings in the divisional round of the playoffs, and then Miami in the longest NFL game ever, the classic at Arrowhead in 1971. Miami beat the Chiefs 27-24. So, triple header on Christmas Day if it happens. I don't know, either Thanksgiving or Christmas, I would put it at even money that Washington is playing on one of those 2 days. Joining us right now from CBS Sports is Cody Benjamin. Cody does a great job covering the NFL. I don't know if they're, you know, schedule talk, you know, on April 1st can get, you know, a little bit tedious, but somebody had tweeted out that there's going to be a triple header, which makes sense to me because Christmas is on a Thursday next year, and you got a triple header on Thanksgiving, and now that Washington's actually a draw with Jaden Daniels, I figure they're going to play on one of those 2 days. What do you think?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, I think it is it's a fair assumption. I mean, the Commanders are kind of appointment TV all of a sudden. I mean, the way that they finished last season, I think obviously the NFC Championship, you know, the final score wasn't close, but the fact that the Commanders were even at that stage with Jaden Daniels, you know, year one, exceeding expectations, and then this offseason, you know, they've taken seriously this opportunity to kind of quickly pivot into a win-now approach. You know, adding Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil. I mean, these are moves that you make if you feel like you're on the doorstep. And it's a testament to how quickly things can change in the NFL. I think that, you know, the Lions are another example. Obviously, that was a long rebuild with that infrastructure there. But, you know, the Lions, they were in prime time to open the season. You know, they were kind of scheduled darlings. And, you know, you look back a few years prior to that, that would not have been the case. So I absolutely think Washington is a team that you want in prime time this year.
All right, let's get to what's going on down in Palm Beach right now, because it looks like there's a lot of breaking news here this morning with respect to rules changes. You wrote about Tush Push yesterday. It looks like the NFL owners for the time being have tabled the Tush Push conversation, so no decision about it and its future in this league meeting. What do you think ultimately happens with this play?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, right now you've got, I would say it's weighted a little heavier in terms of support for the play, and maybe support is a strong word. I think that probably a handful of the teams that have come out, you know, through their coaches and kind of supported its legality. I think I would say they're probably more comfortable than overly supportive of it because, you know, again, not many teams run this play frequently, let alone effectively. But the interesting thing with it is that, you know, the opinions that are opposed to the play that have been voiced, you know, by these coaches, by these team owners, there's not kind of a cohesive opinion as to why it should be banned. It's kind of pick and choose. You know, Sean McVay came out and said, you know, he basically admitted he's not sure if it's a total injury risk. He just doesn't like the way it looks. I mean, it's purely an optical thing for him. You know, the Packers, they have high concerns about the potential for serious injury. You know, Sean McDermott, I thought this was kind of the funniest. You know, he says he's so concerned with player safety. You know, that's why he's kind of doubled down on it. And then he was asked directly after that, will you continue to run the play, you know, if it's not banned? And he kind of, you know, he was caught off guard with that one. I think, I don't know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, you know, I think the best argument that was made for banning it actually came from Cowboys co-owner Stephen Jones. And he said it was about consistency, that on defense, linebackers, they're not currently permitted to push defensive linemen when they're defending, you know, for example, extra points. And so if you were to just remove pushing entirely as it used to be, I think prior to something like 2006, you know, I think that is where it could actually be banned. If that's the case, I think the Eagles, I think the Bills, anyone else who runs this, they'll come up with a different variation. I mean, Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, if they do a regular sneak, you know, to be honest, the push itself, that gets the attention. It's not the push, really, that's doing the work. It's the offensive lineman up front. It's Jalen Hurts. I mean, the push is not giving him that much more momentum. And so at the end of the day, you know, will it be banned? I would say, you know, look 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. I wouldn't be shocked if it's not in the game anymore. I just think teams will find ways around it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, pace of play was the other part of the Packers' proposal. And that obviously stemmed from what happened in the NFC Championship game with Washington sending Frankie Louvu over the line of scrimmage on consecutive plays or three plays. And then we found out that the possibility of an awarded touchdown existed in the rule book. And to me, like, if you're going to keep it, you can't stop defenses from trying to be creative and even overly aggressive in trying to stop it. Like, to me, and that's where you get into pace of play, right? Because you could get multiple penalties in a row. The other pace of play thing for me, Cody, is that the Eagles don't just use it on fourth and one. They use it on third and two and a half, you know, to set up fourth and one. And I think that that, you know, it doesn't slow the clock down. It doesn't stop the clock. They wouldn't be literal pace of play, but it's like what you're watching is, you know, grass growing for, you know, 60 seconds or, 100, you know, 40 times two, 120 seconds of football. That's where I would think that I tend to agree with those that say it just doesn't look right, but then I would add to that pace of play. I don't know.
It's tough because, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I do think it's true. Like, if every team did that, it wouldn't be very aesthetically, like, no one's really tuning in to watch that, right? I totally get that. I mean, it is, you know, it is more exciting to watch other plays, basically every other play. But I think I'd be hesitant, too, because to ban it because of that, because not everyone is doing it, and we've seen now, I mean, the Eagles have been running this play or variations of this play for 3 years, or I guess one, two, yeah, I'm thinking of how many Sirianni's been there with 2021.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah, but in that time frame, no other team, I mean, I haven't seen, I know the Bills did it a little bit more this year, but no other team does it so regularly and so effectively, and so to say, hey, you, the Eagles, you do this so well, you do it so frequently, but it's ugly to me. It just feels a little, you know, if it's not a safety component, maybe it's a pace of play thing, but it just feels like there's just some kind of hesitation because it feels like you're targeting one team primarily.
Right.
And that's tough because I think, look, again, it isn't the most fun to watch, but it is kind of cool to see that in a day and age where, you know, we saw the running backs kind of come back this year, where we get so caught up, the pendulum swings one way or another. Oh, we're a passing league. It is kind of cool to see that a team can be innovative in kind of an old school style, you know, just kind of winning physically, purely in the trenches.
You know, I wonder actually with Philadelphia and that offensive line and Saquon Barkley, if they've lost yardage by using the tush push.
Yeah.
Like if there is a negative net yardage from going with that play rather than, you know, another play like giving the ball to Saquon Barkley or even, you know, throwing the football.
Yeah.
There may be a negative net yardage, but it also may end up being fewer first downs. I don't know. But we're not going to solve it, and the owners haven't even solved it because they've tabled the issue for right now. But there's more, and I'm reading some of this breaking news right now, and I'm sure you've seen it, but we can react to it. So the owners did approve changing the overtime rule to give each team possession of the football, guaranteeing each team possession of the football, but they did not extend the time, meaning yeah. It will still be a 10-minute overtime in regular season games, but each team's now guaranteed of at least one offensive possession, even if the team that wins the toss goes down and scores a touchdown. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, the time is the big thing to me there. I mean, obviously, we've seen this, you know, each side gets a possession. We've seen that in the playoffs. So that's nothing new. But, yeah, I'm, you know, frankly, a little surprised. I think sometimes that overtime period flies by. And you know, in NFL games, you know, sometimes 2 minutes can take 30 minutes in real time. But overtimes tend to move fairly quickly. If you're only, you know, you're guaranteed each a possession, I mean, you still might only get one possession each. I mean, depending on if it's a methodical drive, imagine the tush push, you know, if you're doing that the whole way down the field. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I think that's certainly something that will be under evaluation. I would imagine, you know, immediately following this year, I think that they'd probably assess, you know, how that's going, whether you're tied up against the clock each time, because 10 minutes, again, you could, if you score in a few plays, obviously the other team has the whole rest of the period to take their possession. But that would be, I would imagine, we're going to run into some scenarios this year where all of a sudden you realize the other team, you know, that might become part of the strategy too. Can you methodically move the ball down and leave the other team like they only have this much time?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm really surprised that they didn't extend it to 15 minutes. They'll probably, you know, scream safety rules, you know, that it's a safety issue with them. But there are a couple of things in play here. You've just described them. A team literally could go on a 9-minute drive, score a touchdown. Now the other team has a minute left to tie it up. You know, you'll get the, I would, in a 15-minute overtime, you definitely defer if you win the toss, because it's just like college, even though it's played out differently. But when you get the ball, you want to know what you need. You know, so, you know, Kyle Shanahan blew it by not deferring in the Super Bowl, but you'll defer more times than not on the overtime coin toss if you win it. But I also think, and I haven't seen anything with respect to this, in overtime currently, I believe this is true, you get two timeouts in a normal NFL overtime game. I think they got to give each team three timeouts now, because defensively, if you get into that situation where the other team is winding that clock down and leaving you with hardly any time left, when you do get your guaranteed possession, you've got to be able to use your timeouts on defense, and I think you got to give them at least three timeouts.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, I to be honest, in this setup with the 10 minutes, is there even any scenario where you would defer? I mean, I would imagine you're always taking the ball there, right? Because you're...
Well, no, because you want to know what you need. If you only need a field goal when you get the football... It's the same. Knowing what you need, and by the way, then also having four downs to get what you need is an advantage, I would say. But the 10 minutes, I think, puts a little of that into question, to your point, because you may not get the ball back with enough time to match, tie, you know, et cetera. And by the way, you know, if you get the ball back and you've given up a touchdown, and let's just say 2.5 minutes exist, basically all you can do is either tie unless you decide to go for two in the win if you score. But I still think deferring will be what we'll see more often because of the fourth down and because of, you know, knowing what you need.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easier said than done to, you know, we talked about you could, theoretically, you could kill that other team by, if you have a long methodical drive. I mean, that is always, I guess, easier said than done. I mean, you need to be able to move the chains multiple times, and then, you know, hopefully you're not just leaving it with a field goal or something too, because, you know, if you're playing, who knows, you're up against the Chiefs, and they're in field goal range within two or three plays of their own on the other side. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I do think that clock is going to be, we'll find that out this year. I think it's going to sneak up even quicker, knowing that both teams are guaranteed the possession. So it is going to sneak up.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's different, because we've been at 10 minutes for a while, and is that if you score a touchdown this, you know, on the opening possession, the game doesn't end. So you will be more aware of what you're leaving the other team time-wise. We're talking to Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports. You can follow Cody on X on Twitter, at Cody J. Benjamin. The kickoff changed rule from last year was made permanent, and they've also approved touchbacks, the ball coming out to the 35-yard line now instead of the 30-yard line. Do you have a reaction to that?
I mean, I haven't had much of a reaction to anything they've done with the kickoff for the last. I mean, I'm at a loss for. I mean, I know that we've bounced back and forth these ideas that they pulled from the spring leagues about, you know, should we eliminate it entirely? Should we go with the 4th and 15, 4th and 20, you know, something like that as an alternative?
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like each year they go back and forth. You know, they're trying to make the kickoff relevant. They're trying to make it less relevant. They're trying to incentivize returns, but they want less. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to have it all. You're trying to make it safer. I get it. You know, move the guys closer. Moving the touchback now another 5 yards up, I mean, that's incentivizing a non-return, isn't it? I mean, because you're saying, I'd rather get the ball at the 35 than even try and run this out.
Yeah, but you don't really have a choice if they kick it into the landing zone. What you're going to get now is you're going to get the kickoff team much more focused on, you know, you still had, you know, a much greater percentage of kickoffs, you know, touchbacked than returned. It was increased on the returns. But the 35-yard line, you are literally two first downs away in most situations from field goal range.
But yet, like we called it, you know, and they kind of did this to themselves, calling, you know, branding it the dynamic kickoff. But, I mean, I'm not sure anyone, you know, would you describe what the kickoff looked like last year as dynamic, you know, compared to, I get it. Like they're doing their best to keep this play in some variation relevant, but no, I don't have a strong reaction. I don't have a strong reaction. I mean, it is kind of one of those, it's become, unfortunately, it's just one of those plays now where it really is primarily an afterthought. I mean, I don't know. I feel like inevitably it is going to have some kind of a massive overhaul. They just need to take these growing pains to get there.
All right. We'll move on from rules and what's going on down there. Where is Aaron Rodgers going to end up?
Great question. I think that he, and this isn't probably new, I think that if you were to strap him to a, you know, lie detector test and see what was truly in his heart, I think he wants Minnesota. I think the fact that the Vikings continue to, they are dancing very delicately and very carefully around this subject by, they continue to publicly endorse J.J. McCarthy, say that he is the plan, admit that they talk to Aaron Rodgers, admit that they respect Aaron Rodgers like no other. It feels to me like two parties that kind of sort of really want to make this work, but just can't right now because of, you know, what it would do to J.J. McCarthy. Obviously the Vikings still care to develop him. So I just think that, you know, unless Aaron Rodgers really decides to wait this thing out and J.J. McCarthy has an atrocious spring or, you know, re-injures his knee, I just think that that ship is probably, you know, it's probably sailed. So it's Pittsburgh. Or
why was that ship even in somewhat, you know, danger of being docked? The J.J. McCarthy Minnesota Vikings situation is confusing to me. The love for him coming out of Minnesota last year during the summer, even if Sam Darnold ended up starting, say, weeks one and two with a healthy J.J. McCarthy. And here we are a year later, and they're contemplating Aaron Rodgers, which would not be to come in and back up J.J. McCarthy. So what does Minnesota really think about McCarthy, or is it maybe a health issue that they're concerned about?
Yeah, this is complicated because they do like J.J. McCarthy. Like, I believe, and I'm located in Minnesota now, so I'm out at their training camp. I'm out, like, it's real. I mean, they like J.J. McCarthy, and he seems like he's got a great head on his shoulders. I think that two things can be true, and I think Kevin O'Connell kind of alluded to this. Like, on one hand, they made this investment. This is why they pivoted off Kirk Cousins a year ago, and they said, look, we've had enough kind of this steady but unspectacular veteran route. We're going to finally try and take a swing here and develop our own guy. The injury did throw a wrench into it because – And then you have Sam Darnold. You had this lottery ticket, and the infrastructure around Sam Darnold, the coaching staff, the defense, the receivers, everything was set up that really did propel Sam Darnold to new heights. And I think that they looked at that and they said, you know, this offseason, like, we won 14 games last year. Does this roster, you know, we just fortified the fronts on both sides of the ball. Can we afford to go into this season with a guy who's never thrown a pass in a real NFL game? And so I think that's the mentality as far as, you know, why Rodgers was even considered. And you know, you could think that Rodgers is completely washed up, which is fair. But I think they look at it and say, we believe in J.J. McCarthy as the future. But right now, we have a roster, we have a coaching staff that just won 14 games. Like, that should not have, like, we could have gone somewhere. And with Aaron, the thinking, I think, is that with Aaron Rodgers, you might be able to have your cake and eat it too, where you say, I bring in this guy who's played a ton of football, who could come in with this better setup, and it wouldn't derail the J.J. McCarthy plan for 2026 or whatever. So, again, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think that's where the mentality is.
One last question on this topic. If, for whatever reason, Rodgers went to Minnesota, or retired, let's just say, how screwed is Pittsburgh? Who's their quarterback going to be?
Yeah, I think they messed it up. I mean, I don't think this is a... I might be wrong. Everyone is wrong sometimes when they're talking about these situations. But I think that, to me, the Pittsburgh situation right now, it smells a lot more like an accidental dysfunction kind of a thing than a deliberate patience. Like, I think that they went in thinking genuinely that they could have back Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, whichever one, you know, didn't, one of them was going to go somewhere else, and I think they assumed that they could get one of those guys back. Justin Fields had a slightly better market than maybe they were willing to meet, and then Russell Wilson, I mean, if they wanted him back too, they could have had him back. I think they've just been kind of left at the altar here, and maybe Rodgers goes there, but, you know, aside from a crazy trade-up, aside from Shedeur Sanders, you know, sliding to them and then, or taking a swing on a, you know, Jackson Dart. That feels to me kind of like the Kenny Pickett thing of a few years ago, where they just kind of, they badly needed a quarterback. They weren't in love with one. They needed to make a move. And so, yeah, the fact that they're sitting here right now, April 1st, and Mason Rudolph, it was the big quarterback investment so far. That to me says that this just didn't go the way they wanted it to go.
Do you think, real quickly, 10 seconds, do you think Cousins ends up in Cleveland?
I don't. I see the connections. I think he would want to reunite with Kevin Stefanski, but they sent a pick for Kenny Pickett. I don't think the roster is ready to win right now. I think they'd rather take a swing on a quarterback in the draft.
Cody, thanks. Really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports. So there's a lot of breaking news from down at the league meetings related to NFL rules, a couple of which we didn't even talk about with Cody. We'll get to what's passed and what hasn't next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.